Stewardship, a Mission of Faith presents Gospel Reflection. Gospel Reflection is a one-hour weekly gathering with prayer and the breaking open of the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those participating, lives are changed, renewed, and transformed. Please join with us now for this week's Gospel Reflection.
Up with a prayer this morning to this magnificent day, just to thank the Father, give Him glory for just all He's doing in our lives.
Loving God, our Father, we raise our voices together to say praise You and thank You, for this is Your day, and we do rejoice in it. We thank You for Your kindness and graciousness and love and patience, and most of all for Your forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we give You all the glory for all that has been done and all that will be done. By faith, we gather together and in Your name and ask You to bless us as we share with one another that which You have said. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful glimpses of You, Lord, and that we might become more intimate with You and that we might clearly hear Your voice speaking to us. This and more we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And awesome. And then someone has our petition.
I do.
All right.
Please, Lord, allow each of us gathered here in this room to be an instrument in the answer to Your prayer of unity, so that each of us, united as one, may be a light that leads to You.
Jesus' prayer for unity. I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, so that they may be one as You, Father, are with Me and I in You, that they also may be in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And I have given them the glory that You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that You sent Me and that You love them as You love Me.
Excellent. Now we're going to do the Come Holy Spirit prayer, and it's so beautiful about these groups. It's not about anyone other than the Holy Spirit opening our hearts and helping us break open the bread of life which feeds us each day.
Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of Your faithful.
And kindle in them the fire of Your love.
Send forth Your Spirit, and we shall be created.
And You shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of Thy faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolations. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Then we turn the page to the Litany of Humility, always convicting to me. And are you feeling up for it this morning? I always love when you pray. We'll all respond in the right-hand column.
I need it more than I realize.
Amen.
Let's pray. Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being loved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being acclaimed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being honored,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being praised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being preferred,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being consulted,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being approved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being valued,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being pitied,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being humbled,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being despised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being dismissed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being rejected,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being defamed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being forgotten,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being wronged,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being suspected,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From resenting that my opinion is not followed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the feeling of entitlement,
Lord Jesus, free me.
That others will be loved more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be esteemed more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will increase in the opinion of the world while I diminish.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be chosen while I'm set aside.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be praised while I'm overlooked.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be preferred to me in everything.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
And I'm going to encourage all of us again to pray this last paragraph together. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus, though you are God, you humbled yourself to the extreme of dying on the cross, to set an enduring example to shame my arrogance and vanity. Help me to learn your example and put it into practice so that I may humble myself in accordance with my lowliness here on earth. You can lift me up with your joys forever in heaven.
Amen. Amen. And now we turn the page to the universal prayer, and I know every time I pray this, each paragraph convicts my heart. Would you mind starting us, and we'll just go right around the room.
Lord, I believe in you. Help me to believe more firmly. I trust in you. Help me to trust more surely. I love you. Help me to love you more ardently. I am sorry for my sins. Help me to deepen my sorrow.
I worship you because I came from you. I long for you because you made me for yourself. I praise you as my ever-present helper. I call on you as my powerful protector.
Guide me by your wisdom. Correct me with your justice. Comfort me by your mercy. Defend me with your power.
Lord, I offer you my thoughts to be centered on you, my words to speak of you, my actions to do your will, my sufferings for your sake.
I want whatever you want because you want it, the way you want it, as long as you want it.
Lord, enlighten my mind, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and sanctify my spirit.
Enable me to regret past offenses, to resist future temptations, to overcome wayward tendencies, and cultivate needed virtues.
Lord, in your goodness, grant me the grace to love you, to forget myself, to seek my neighbor's good, and despise the seduction of the world.
Teach me to obey those in authority, serve those under my care, look after my friends, forgive my enemies.
Lord, help me to overcome pleasure by simplicity, greed by generosity, anger by self-control, complacency by fervor.
Make me prudent in planning, unwavering in danger, patient in adversity, unassuming in success.
Keep me, Lord, attentive at prayer, moderate in food and drink, energetic in my walk, firm in my resolutions.
Enable me to keep my conscience clear, my bearing modest, my dealing exemplary, my life well ordered.
Lord, let me be alert to tame the natural instincts, foster the life of grace, keep your laws, and receive salvation in Christ.
Teach me how trivial worldly interests are, how momentous the kingdom, how brief temporal concerns are, how lasting life eternal.
Lord, by your grace, enable me to prepare for death, fear judgment, escape hell, and obtain heaven.
Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now if we take the gospel reflection sheet, it comes from John 14, 15 through 21. And you know, as I was reflecting as we were praying, we pray, when we pray our Lord's Prayer, to give us this day our daily bread. We now have before us the bread of life, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to break this bread open so that we can grow deeper in the knowledge and the love of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you mind reading the gospel for us, and then we'll just take a moment or two, and then just share what the Holy Spirit has opened our heart to.
All right, John 14, 15 through 21. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Fulfillment in a way of the unity prayer that we pray. Jesus is saying, "You, in a little while, you will no longer, the world will no longer see me, but you will, because I live, and you will live." And he speaks about the commandments being the way to love him, and in following the commandments, we see him and we know him, and we know he is with the Father and. The unity of which he, for which he prayed previously, seems to be fulfilled in this. If we but love him, as he tells us to. I just was struck with that.
Yes.
The question here is, how many orphans do we have in the house of God? A lot of orphans. Mm. Because he said, if you do not love me, it is because you are not keeping my commandment, and you are an orphan. See, we have a lot of orphans in the house of God. If you mingle with Christians and find the problem that is in Christendom with brethren, now you begin to understand why this problem is escalating in the body. We pray so much for brethren. That is my ministry. Praying for the church, for my brethren, for my brothers and sisters. Now we pray them so that they start becoming orphans. You know, you pray somebody to Christ, you hold ministers, you hold people of God by interceding and praying for them so that we have less orphans in the house of God. Because Jesus said, if you do not obey my commandment, you are not part of me. You're not receiving revelation from God. Because you don't love him. Because you don't obey his commandment. He said, God knows the secret things. And he reveals secret things to his beloved. Now you're not getting any feedback. You see, there is this communication. Communication has to be two-way to become communication. You talk to God, God talks back to you. And in that discussion, God is saying things to you. It's like you go to your father and start talking to him. He will tell you history of where you come from, of what happened with him and his father, his family. And if you do not go discussing with your dad, you don't get to know those things. God begins to reveal secret things to you because you are communicating with him. Because you are being obedient to him. You know, he's not mad at you. He's revealing things to you. So, it's very important for us to understand that we don't go doing what we want to do. We have to do what the Word of God says do, so that we will be in God's stead, so that he will be talking to us, that we will be discussing with him, and we will not be orphans. Orphans are fatherless. They don't have that.
Amen.
You see, so in the house of God, we need to be to reduce orphans by taking care of one another. We're not going judging one another, but praying people to become steady with Jesus. You know, that's what I say.
That's right on. I mean, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. But the thing that really stirs me up is he says the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him, the Spirit of Truth, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and the Amplified adds, constantly. He lives with you constantly and will be in you. I think the church is always wrestling with the essential ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we still are. We just still wrestle with the essential ministry of the Holy Spirit. We go to Holy Spirit phobic, and we go to Holy Spirit flaky. We go both ways. And we don't live with this inertia that we absolutely need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what we're going to do, or it's not going to get done. And the world doesn't see the Spirit, so there's always this angle of, quote, weirdness, because he's out of the box. You know, I just want to share this. I feel like the last 100 years of church history has set us up. We can get this. We can get this right in our day. In the late 1800s, all the intellectuals of the world tore the Word of God apart and told us the Word of God is just made up fairy tales. So the fundamentalists were the guys who said, no, it's not. This is inerrant. But at the same time, we lost the essential dependency on the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, we got to be rooted in the Word.
Yeah.
But we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And something shifted there, and it's like, well, you know, Holy Spirit, we can't figure him out. And Jesus is telling us right here, this is the key. We don't lose our rootedness in the Word, but he says when he comes, and I think sometimes just by the way it's worded, it's like, yeah, well, it's a take it or leave it gift. It's a take it or leave it gift. No, it's so essential. There's no way we're going to touch our generation without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you go into Acts 1, which is right after this, he says, you will be my witnesses when you receive power from the Holy Spirit.
When I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of power. And I think of that little song we sang as kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Love is the most powerful weapon that we could have in our baskets. Overcoming everything by love. Love is pouring ourselves out, and love is receiving. And it's hard sometimes to accept the fact that God loves us. Because we say to ourselves, who are we that God should love us? I mean, how can we really believe that? But there's so much themes here. Hebrews talks, in the book of Hebrews, we talked about whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And often I say to the Lord, why do you have to love me so much? Because a lot of suffering comes from love. Love brings about suffering. But think of the relationship with your spouses or with someone you love very dearly. And the connection, the overpowering, comes by love. It's that connection of love. Love is receiving and it's giving. It's both of those things working together. I'm just overwhelmed with God's love for me. And the power of that. And the Holy Spirit is the demonstration of that. The fact he'll never leave us is great love. And we're always afraid somebody will leave us. And somebody will let us go, a friend or a partner or somebody. But he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always love you. No matter what.
I frankly see this as... As a man, we kind of see things black and white. And I see this as a very intimate comfort of God to us. An introduction of the Holy Spirit in a sense that he's there for us. And it has some starkness about it. It's not necessarily the most warm and fuzzy verse. But it is because we're men and we see things black and white. And this is saying, I'm here for you. I won't leave you. Be there for me. And I just see this as the most intimate comfort. And when I read this, I think of just one-on-one. It's him and me. And it's a comfort of souls. And it kind of introduces the ability of a personal relationship with God. And it just strikes me whenever I read this one. And it does tie in directly with the prayer for unity. Thank you for having me read that today. It's amazing how the Spirit works. But I see it as very powerful and yet very personal.
I wrote down that love is a response. It's an action. It's not lip service. And the things that I put down is, and this is interesting because we are all members of the one body of Christ. We are all brides, and our Lord and Savior is our bridegroom. Do we put our beloved first in our life? Do we include our beloved in all we do? Do we seek our beloved's counsel, his help? Are we obedient to our beloved's instructions? And I think that's a real challenge point for each of us. Do we consider our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our beloved? Is it Him whom we cherish? Is it Him who we adore? Is it Him that we worship first and foremost in all that we do at every moment, every day?
Isn't there this duality? Just to quick respond to what you said, I think we've talked about this many times around this gospel reflection. There's this duality, because I forget who it was 6 months ago. There isn't this have to, that I have to love God. There's this want to, that comes out of the revelation. So there's this privilege that He's my beloved, but He's so beloved that He draws me into that love, and the commands become something I have to do, because love is defined by the fact that I am obeying God. So I don't just sit around and go, oh, I just love you, Lord. Oh, you're just so cool, but I'm robbing banks, whatever. I can't. There's a disconnect there. If I truly love Him, I'll keep His commands.
That's right.
But at the same time, it's not like, oh, I have to obey, or I have to love the Lord today. I have to love my beloved today. So there's this drive that comes. I was thinking about if I was given... think about the most gifted people we have in our culture. Think about an Elvis Presley or someone like that. And we go, the guy possibly lost his soul because we don't know where he's at, but he was ruined by his success. Or anyone else you can pick, an athlete, someone. When we're not ruined by anything in this world, the reason we're destroyed is because we didn't find the greater. We didn't find the beloved. We're not necessarily destroyed by this earth. It's the fact that something got in the way of the greater, which is discovering the beloved. When we discover the beloved, everything else pales. But lots of times we look at the world and go, wow, that guy was destroyed by his success. No, he was destroyed because he was cut short from finding the ultimate success, which is finding the beloved.
Will you share that? The difference between the two of I have to do all these things, I have to do that, it's the law, I have to do it, that's all about the head. When the conversion of the heart happens and it goes from the head to the heart, it's a response to the Lord.
It's powerful.
It's all about the heart. It is the desire of your heart.
That's right. That's right, brother.
As the beloved woos you to respond to His call, that's about the heart. Not the head.
I shared this, I guess, on Sunday a little bit. It's something I've been thinking about. But all of us know that perception is reality. And we all know that when people perceive us in a certain light, they interpret our words and our behavior through that filter. I wrote this down Sunday. What we choose to believe, our wills align themselves to, and our hearts dance accordingly.
That's right.
And I was thinking about what you said about the beloved. I mean, if we really believe that He's the bridegroom and see Him as that. So I think a lot of our heart issues have to do with what crazy stuff we really have put up in our heads.
Can you read that quote one more time?
What we choose to believe, our wills align themselves to, and our hearts dance accordingly.
Amen. Right on.
And I just think about, I mean, what you said was so powerful, because if we really understand that He sees us as the bride, I mean, and if we really believe He's the bride, think about how we'll talk about each other. We'll see each other as brides. But, you know, we don't do that in the church very well. We'd rather dress people down than dress them up.
I guess like our brother said down here, you know, there's a lot of orphans.
Amen.
And we treat each other not as adopted sons and daughters.
That's good.
I wrote down two things that kind of jumped out at me. The words have to and want to. And, you know, we're taught that we have to do this. We have to follow the commandments. And God wants us to get to that place of wanting to follow His commandments. But I think what gets us there is in the middle, we have the freedom. We get to follow His commandments. So we have that choice. So we get that opportunity to follow His commandments. And when we realize how powerful He is, that's when we want to.
I have a question. Are we saying that we first know it in our minds and then we feel it in our hearts? Is that what we're saying? I'm having a hard... I can't hear some of you guys. So is that what we're saying?
He's saying it has to move from... He's not saying it always starts there, but because it may not, but lots of times it does. He's right. Not saying that, but he's saying ultimately it has to move from the head to the heart. It could start at the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you respond to your spouse with a bunch of mechanicals I got to do, I can promise you your spouse will realize that she's just someone that you mechanically respond to, and she's truly not the love of your life. Okay. Same with God. If we just go through a check-the-box list, and we just are doing a bunch of stuff without it being in the heart, from the head to the heart, it's not that love affair that God wants with us. It's not that relationship which is intimate, which is heart-centered. It can start in the head, go to the heart. It can start in the heart, go to the head. Whichever. But that's what I see.
I remember when at 13, I made a decision to follow the Lord. And I remember I was told that you must do this, this, and this. You must keep all these commandments. And I thought, man, it's impossible. But as I get older, I understand how it's a privilege to follow His commandments. It's not something I have to do. It's something I want to do because what God has put into my heart. And so it's just totally different, and I can be totally free in the Lord.
In part of answering your question, I look at my life this way. If my heart is bored with my life, I say, wait a minute, what have I been putting in my head? Where has it been going? Because, you know, I should be in love with my wife.
Right.
And when I'm bored with God, what have I been telling myself? Amen. What have I been doing that hasn't really brought my heart to a place of that deep love? So it's not dumb. It's all integrated into one. But I think sometimes we lose the power of our minds because God says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. You know, Matthew 22. And heart. And body. And spirit. It's not one or the other. It's
the whole.
It's everything. But I know when I find myself bored, I'm like, okay, my mind and my will have been at places they shouldn't be.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
No way I should be bored with God.
I agree with that. The one scripture says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Mm-hmm. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless Amen. Until the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. So when I believe when you get a cut, it heals from the inside out. I'm just looking at it in a different perspective. And when you said that, when it was going around the table, it just I didn't think about it that way. I put it that way because I know when I love my wife, I love my wife not from my mind, but from my heart first, and then. Sometimes I don't appear, don't like her. But here I know I love her. You understand? I'm not contradicting anybody or anything. I'm just saying that's the way.
Yeah. I wonder if God ever does that.
You're right on. I love it. And I think what I want to go is just a little bit deeper. Because we're to love our wife. Think of this as God's daughter first. Let's look at our spouse as God's daughter first.
Right.
Let's look at our spouse as Jesus' sister. As we look at the Song of Songs, it's my sister.
Right.
May give us a whole deeper perspective of how we're truly to love our spouse in the purity of our love, in our intimacy, as God's daughter first, as Jesus' sister, and then as the gift that God's entrusted to us.
I guess I take a little further. And when I read this, I see it as a huge call to action. And I think very much of Mother Teresa. Because I don't think it's a coincidence that both times when Jesus asks us to follow his commands, he says, if you love me, or you will love me. I believe he's saying, you know, love one another as I've loved you. I believe he's saying, you are in me and I am in you. Which means we are part of Jesus. So when we love each other, we're loving Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what Mother Teresa was all about. Her five words that sums up the gospel, you did it to me. So when we do things, we, you know, when I see folks around this table, I see Jesus. I've said that from day one. And I think that's how we have to treat each other. I think that's the call to action.
And Mother Teresa did not discriminate. She saw Jesus
in everybody,
in every human being, in the hungry, in the ones with infirmities, in the sick, in the broken. She saw Jesus.
Yeah.
And they saw Jesus in her.
Yeah, when Jesus says, I will come to you, how does he come to us? He comes to us every day, in my opinion, with every interaction we have. He gives us an opportunity to love him more.
And it's right here. You will see me. How do we see Christ every day?
So how do we love our wives? I mean, when I was a preacher, my goal is to see Jesus in her eyes every day.
As Christ loved the church, he tells us.
My daughter, youngest daughter, visited India maybe half a year or more ago, maybe a year ago. And she went up to Mother Teresa's home in Calcutta, and she stayed with the nuns, and I think she slept right where Mother Teresa slept. And she saw her tomb, went over to a showering room where they shower the homeless, you know, the destitute, the ill, the sick. And it's just a simple room with kind of a concrete finish, and the walls painted a green or yellow, I forget, and large letters for the person that you're cleaning, the body of Christ. It was just very impressive to see that. Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Yes.
I was just looking around the room here and got to know some of you guys, and some of you are in business, some of you are in ministry, and I was thinking, even the few of you I know better, you've been attacked in this world. You've been attacked. You're in ministry, in your business. And I was reading this word, advocate. I will give you another advocate to be with you always. And I was thinking, how in your life, in my life, how many advocates we really have?
Amen.
Lifelong advocates, thick and thin, as you said, always. I've always advocate. I have an advocate before the Father, for the Holy Spirit. I just think that's amazing. When you think that's what we have, even as we speak now, there's an advocate on our behalf before God. That's incredible.
You know, I haven't been in any church for 16 years. And I'm sitting at home one Sunday. I've been in a Catholic church maybe four times. One of those times was when I got married. And going to the Catholic church those four times was just like when I was brought up a Methodist. It really didn't mean anything to me. I was more interested, let's get this over with so I can go to lunch, so I'm hungry. And then one Sunday, sitting at home, for some reason, I had this desire to go to Mass. I had no idea what Catholic Church was.
So I open up the phone book. I close my eyes. I went to Catholic Church. And I figured out where it was, and I went. Figuring it was going to be the same way it always did. Just go there, be bored, not know what's going on, want to get out of there. And then, halfway through the Mass, when it came time for the liturgy of the Eucharist, tears were just streaming down my face. And I had no idea why. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, you're a Marine, you don't get emotional, you don't cry, you know, this is just a happenstance. So for the next 6 weeks, I took a different Catholic church. And every time I went to the Mass, the same thing happened. And I started going over here to St. Peter's, and it continued to happen. I didn't know why, and I came into the church. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago that I finally realized what was going on. From the first minute I stepped in that first Catholic church, I knew in my heart what was going on. I didn't know in my head, mm-hmm. but I knew in my heart. And it took my hard head a long time to understand Amen. What was going on.
Amen.
But,
wow. Amen.
I'd like to say something that I just read recently. It's not exactly on this issue, but it talks about a 92-year-old minister who had 50 years in ministry. He was asked to speak at a service. And a lot of people just expected a lot of ho-hum or just stuff from him. But he got up slowly to the pulpit, and he said that one thing that his ministry has taught him were these words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he said after looking over everything that he had done in his ministry and all the things he had experienced, he had to sum it up that when you look at everything that love involves, everything that it entails, that Jesus was watching over him and Jesus was the main inspiration for him. And it may be a little bit detracting from what we're talking about, but I just felt I needed to share that.
That's spot on. Awesome. And when you were reflecting that, I looked over at the crucifix.
Oh.
Jesus gave his life for us, lest we never forget what he did for us.
Yes.
Our beloved laid down his life for us, and guess what? Each and every one of us are called to do the same.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm really glad my wife's not here today.
Did you take good notes?
And that's what the one thing that was going through my mind. And by the way, she's very blessed. She's actually at the women's now. But I started getting a little bit antsy inside. Like, wow, I got to do all this. Can I do it? And I look down, see that word advocate. I ain't scared, because he's going to help me through it. It's not me doing it anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
He's always going to be there for us. He promises that. And each and every day, we just got to lay our lives down for him. Say, Lord, use us. Use me. Change me. But God in us, we can accomplish everything.
You know, you're a testimony to this little line. Because I live, you will live. You were spiritually dead. And Christ resurrected you from
Amen.
Death when you gave your yes and your I'm all in. And we are alive because Christ lives. It's in and through Christ that we have our spiritual life, and we have that communion, that common union with Christ. But when we choose to go off of that path, as Adam did, as Eve did, God continues to call out to us, where are you? Because he knows we're going to die spiritually. He wants us to turn around, metanoia, come back to him.
Amen.
So that we have that flow of that relationship. And that's the love that remains in us. If you remain in me, remain in his love. We do that by being obedient to what he's asked us to do. He's called us to holiness. You know, and there's a line down here that's underneath that says, whoever has my commandments and observes them. We're called to know what Christ, how Christ wants us to live.
Amen.
He gives us his love letter. He gives us the blueprint to eternal life in sacred scripture. Do we know him every day? Do we reflect in his word? Do we allow him to speak to us? Or do we just tell him what we want?
That's one of the things we try to get across when we teach classes is, you know, you don't want to break the commandments. You want to keep the commandments, keep the Sabbath holy, anything else. Not because you're worried about breaking the commandments or worried about sin or fearing the pains of hell. Because you love our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to, you know, do anything to hurt that love.
Amen.
And we all, you know, we stress that our Lord will never stop loving you or turn away from you, but you don't want to do anything to go jeopardize, you know, your love for our Lord. And we tell them, you know, at first, you may do it because you feel you have to. But in your journey, in your spiritual journey, as you grow, it will come to where it's out of love for our Lord. And you can see people through the year process as they grow, as they change. It's just so wonderful.
Yes, go ahead. Go on. So I'm not much of a theologian, so I might take this completely out of context, and you can...
Neither are any of us. You're good to go here.
The pastor can smack me around in the car on the way back. But, you know, I think what really jumped out on to me was this, I will come to you. And, you know, in my 20s, I was really influenced by this Catholic priest who always said... you know, how God pursues us. And when he pursues us and you sense it and you know it and you experience it, you can't help but be so compelled to respond. And I for years and years I felt God wooing me or something. And I can't explain it. Reaching out to me before I reached out to him so strongly that it caused me 4 years ago to basically what I've done for the past 4 years is I respond to natural and man-made disasters and do rescue operations in places like Haiti or Joplin, and this whole thing is what caused me to want to somehow attempt to be a reflection of what I believe is one of God's characteristics, is that he comes to us, so why should we not therefore come or go to others, even if they don't ask for it, because I sure didn't ask for it, but he came to me. So I just, for some reason, this... this means a lot to me because God came to me first, and I hope that I'll spend the rest of my life being a reflection of responding to the needs of my fellow man in the midst of their crisis, even if they don't even know we exist or we're coming or they even need us, because that's how I feel God loved me. And I hope I can sustain it till my dying days.
That was beautiful. And that's the beauty of these groups. It's all about the Holy Spirit opening up our hearts to share what the Father is revealing to us. We're not theologians. We're children of God come together to share stories, to build each other up, to share sometimes our brokenness, and then we're there to help each other. Any other reflection? Anything?
I did have a thought. My wife and I are married 45 years, and sometimes the marriage can feel a little stale. And then I found it's helpful for me to remember our first love, how we first met, and I can, in my spirit, I can still picture her as she was, and those feelings come back. And I think even in our walk with the Lord, sometimes it can get a little, feel stale sometimes, maybe. And that's why that last part appealed to me so much, where he says he will reveal himself to us.
Amen.
And so sometimes I try and do the same thing, where I think it's good for us to remember our first love, where that gospel message that was so fresh and new to us at first, it can be fresh and new each day. And so that's what I was thinking when you asked that.
Yes.
I don't know. I have to share this. Some weeks ago, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit began to tell me double portion anointing. Double portion anointing. I left home some 8 years ago. Okay? I left my family at home, and I communicate with them all the time. But this few weeks, Holy Spirit was making me pray for love. Say I should pray for love between me and my wife, double portion anointing of love. I said, what does it mean? Anyway, I began to pray about loving my wife more than I loved her before. That's what he's asking me to pray. Now I begin to pray. I said, I want to love my wife more than I loved her before. I want her to love me more than she loved me before. I want us to love our children more than we love them before. I prayed for a while before it got out of my mind. Okay? I don't know why. Because I love her anyway for coming here. Why should the Lord ask me to pray to have double portion anointing for my wife? You understand? I could be going home maybe very soon. I don't know why. I've not seen her for 8 years. And the way, after I prayed that prayer, I began to feel like I felt when I was trying to cut her, when I was in another town and she was somewhere eight hours away, and when I'm going to see her, I feel so excited. Now my heart is very excited after marrying her for 20 something years. I feel so excited about her. You see, now when we begin to stay before the Lord in prayer, he will bring us. I don't know why he has to bring that to me. I'm praying all for other things, but he's bringing this to me, and I have to attend to it. You see, there's always this renewal, going back to the cross. You know, every time you go back to the original, go back to the beginning, because sometimes we stray so far away from the beginning. Now we have to go back to the beginning. That's why we got to stay before him, and everything is possible. I am a believer that everything, anything whatsoever you want, is possible with God.
That's right.
The moment you address it seriously, say the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence will take it by force. You got to go relentlessly and get it. God has to obey that, because that is the word of God. I do not believe anything is impossible. The love you have for your wife can be renewed to the beginning.
True.
And you see her differently from what you are seeing her right now. And the love continues. It doesn't matter the age.
True.
You know, some people get born with their wife. Some wife get born with their husband.
True.
The Lord is telling us, go back to the original. Pray. Now God will bring out that love back to you. And that's it.
With that, any other final things? Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead, huh?
Yeah.
No, you go. No, you go. No, you go. Go ahead.
Well, I'm so honored to be here, and as a visitor, first time visitor. I love talking about love, because everything that we that is good exists today because of love. And in the reflections of the scripture that was read here, it's to me, the amazing thing is, it's really the whole foundation of everything is really love. The keeping of the commandments, sending another advocate,
It's all because of love. And I love hearing about love. But the challenge of love is what really is really what gives us power. Because if you're never challenged in love, it's easy to love the people that we know, that we're friends with, our families. Very easy to love these people. But the power or the strength of love is when we come in contact with the people that are hard to love. You understand? That's where the power of love is manifest. It's when people that I have every reason to dislike or to hate, but yet I'm forced to love them because I've been given love by the Father. And it's the genuine, the authentic love that never fails. Corinthians said that it never fails. Love never fails. Now, the power of love is manifested every time I love someone. Every time this love is manifested, God is manifested in this love, because God is love. As John said, God is love. But this power, I believe now, God is manifested around us and in us. But if we don't have, and the challenge is always going to be to love someone. If during the day, if you don't have challenges to love someone, your love will always remain the same. It will always remain the same. If there is no challenge, then there will be no change. You understand? What?
Yes.
If you're not challenged to do something, you see no reason to change it. And the strength of love, and even with our faith, when we were created with two mechanisms. One is to give and receive love, and the other is worship.
That's right.
Those things are going to happen regardless of who you are. You're going to worship something.
That's right.
And you're going to love something.
That's right.
And those things, now God recreated us. Now he's placed life in those areas. So now I don't have an excuse why I can't love someone, and I have a reason not to love. No matter what reason I'm given, love will always say, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. I can love anyone at any given time, regardless of what they've done, said. It doesn't matter. Because when I was in my worst condition, God gave me love.
Amen.
So I thank God for the love and for the love of you brothers. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Amen. Right on.
I feel like we are on the verge of a spiritual revolution.
Yeah.
What we choose to believe, our wills align to, and our hearts dance accordingly. And I just want to say this, and that comes out of revelation. I believe our wills believe something because it comes out of revelation. And that's the very last word. He says, I will reveal myself to you. And I think there's a subtle voice from the enemy. He says, you're selfish because you want more revelation. And we have to blow that lie away. The more I truly want God to reveal himself to me, I am not being selfish. Somehow there's a voice out there that says, oh, you just want an experience. You just want... No, listen, I need the revelation of God so I can live this.
Yeah,
so I want to live this. I want to dance accordingly. But it's not going to come just because I figured it out or I learned 10 purposes to life or whatever it is. It is a revelation, and it is not selfish to want that revelation.
Amen.
Awesome.
Set a prophetic word I think we need to leave here today with, and that was this. If there is no challenge, there is no change. I think we really need to reflect on that, because as we go through our struggles in life, as we go through our obstacles, our battles, or whatever, or people are brought into our life that challenge us, guess what? Perhaps they were brought into our life for a purpose, to stretch us, to grow our love, because ultimately what sacred scripture tells us is love conquers something. No. Love conquers all.
Yes.
All. Not a couple things, not some things, all. So perhaps those challenges in our life are opportunities that God gives us every day to grow in love, which reflects Him.
Awesome, gentlemen. With that, we're going to go to prayer intentions.
At this point in our gospel reflection meetings, we invite those present to share requests for prayer that God has laid on their hearts, and then we pray for those requests. We encourage you at this time to pause this recording and pray for those people and circumstances that the Lord is bringing to your mind right now. Once you have finished praying, please restart the recording and join us in our closing prayers. Please pause this recording now.
Was asked to teach us how to pray, he unites our prayers to the Father. So he joins with us as we all gather together to pray the Lord's Prayer. And so we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
And for those who choose to join with us, we're going to ask Mother Mary, Jesus' mother, to pray for each and every one of us as we continue to build his kingdom, as we continue as soldiers in Christ to fight this battle here on this earth. And so we cry out,
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And now the glory be.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you very much, everyone, gentlemen. This was awesome.
We hope that your life has been enriched by listening to the recording of this edition of Gospel Reflection. If this recording has helped you on your faith journey, please prayerfully consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For information on locations, times, group startups, phone participation, CDs, DVDs, and downloading, please visit our website at www.stewardshipmission.org. and click on Gospel Reflection Groups. While visiting our site, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making your tax-deductible donation. Thank you, and may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.